Good afternoon. This is Harold Franklin, pastor of New Creation Christian Center. We're located at 7728 Rainier Avenue South. We have services on Saturday at 7 p.m. till 8:30 p.m. Please come out and join us. You'll be encouraged by the Word of God. You'll be stirred by the presence of God, and you'll witness the power of God in your life. So we look forward to seeing you in the future real soon. God bless you. Kind of really reevaluate all our belief systems, all our attitudes, all our mindsets, all our philosophies of life, all our even our understanding about spiritual things. We need to reorganize or redirect or reprocess so that we're not thinking in a way that is contrary to what the scriptures teach. And so let's pray, and then we'll get into the message. Father, we thank you first of all because of your sweetness and your goodness towards us. Lord, there's nothing that we have or are in this life that we don't have access to you because of you. We have joy, we have peace, we have happiness, we have love, we have fulfillment, we have purpose, and everything that we look for in this life, you have provided. So Lord, we want to thank you for that provision. And Lord God, for those things that we need in life, money and relationships and all the things, provision that we need, Lord, I pray that you would help us to always keep our minds stayed upon you so that you would give us the desires of our heart. And we know that it's your desire for people to be in relationship, not only with you, but with other people on earth. So Lord, we put those things in your hands. And Lord, as I open your word, I pray that, Holy Spirit, you would teach us the things that you want us to learn, that you would have us, give us a mindset that you want us to have so that we can live our lives in accordance with what you've ordained us to do. And Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this message. Holy Spirit, teach beyond my words and speak beyond my words in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. We left off yesterday. I think we were talking about how the world is confused. I think I mentioned the chicken holocaust that they claim we are in the midst of. And that's for the people that didn't want to eat meat. So they're saying that we're murdering chickens. And that's because people have gotten this very unhealthy view on animals versus people. How many of you guys remember the spotted owl controversy? Anybody remember that up here? You guys are probably a little too young for that, but I think it was back in the 80s, 70s, something like that. There was supposedly there was a spotted owl, which is a small owl, that lived in the forests of, what's that, going towards Ocean Shores. Oh, gosh, what's that city, the main city that goes to Ocean Shores? Anybody remember? Anyway, huh? What'd you say? Yeah, Paso Olympia. Small one. No, that's... No, even further than that. Well, so Centralia is, it's more going west. But anyway, there was a city, and they're a lumber town, and they declared, and this is where these supposed spotted owls were, and they made them stop harvesting logs because of this owl. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not against animals. I like animals. Like I told you, I'm be careful not to say I love animals because some folks love animals. I just like them. But all because of the owl, thousands of people were put out of work. That's an incorrect priority. People trump the spotted owl. Everybody say that with me. People trump the spotted owl. People are more important than animals, period. That does not mean we abuse animals. That does not mean we misuse animals, mistreat animals. But people are higher on the chain of creation than animals. It's just it seems like a given fact, but unfortunately, because we all believe we're monkeys, we can't seem to get that straight. And that's why the theory of evolution is, so, in addition to so many reasons, that's why the theory of evolution is so abominable, because it reduces man to just an animal. And that's what we were talking about last time. And then we talked about what God said about people. And I don't think I got to this verse, but let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 26. In the middle of the Beatitudes, and this is right before, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." It says in Matthew 6, 25 through 26, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them." And then he asked the question that I want us all to get, and this is not a rhetorical question, which means a question that doesn't have an answer. This has an answer. He says, "Are you not more value of more value than they?" Now, who's the they he's talking about? The birds. All right? So God is telling us in his word, Jesus Christ, that people are more valuable than birds. I think the spotted owl is a bird. So people who need to cut trees down to make a living are more valuable than a bird. And quite frankly, you know, sometimes I wonder, people must think animals are stupid. If you start cutting down an animal's house, they will move. I mean, it's not like, "I'm not moving, I don't care what you do. You can cut down all the trees in the forest. I'm not moving." No, the birds will say, "Look, man, they're cutting the trees down. We need to find someplace else to live." They might live in your house, but they're moving. So, you know, we don't have to always be so concerned that animals are so stupid that they can't figure out how to get out of danger. They know men can be dangerous sometimes, so they keep moving. So anyway, so we need to understand that people are more valuable than animals. The next thing we need to look at are the ideas about ourselves. You know, there has been probably for the last, probably about the last 15, 20 years, a self-esteem movement, a desire to get people to feel good about themselves. And, we've gone so far as that they stopped grading kids on scores. Matter of fact, from my old law school, I went to the UW Law School for a while, because we were so into making people feel good, they stopped actually issuing grades in law school. And all the law firms in Seattle says, "Are you crazy? How are we supposed to know if these people know what they're doing?" So quickly that was reinstated, because of course that was nonsense. But we wanted the people to, you know, I don't know if you guys remember in the, you know, the days where, you know, people would say, you know, you get a paper and the kid would say 1 + 1 = 3, and they would not say that was wrong. They will say, "Well, you gave it your best effort." No, that's wrong. And at the expense of self-esteem, or at the risk of bruising their self-esteem, we built up this ill-conceived image that we wanted people to have. And so the self-esteem, so I don't even like the word self or the phrase self-esteem. I prefer, especially in the church, the phrase God-esteem. Because God has esteemed us at a certain level, and he has a certain level of expectation that he has for us. So we have to expect, the lights just went out, God has told us what we're supposed to be like, how we're supposed to act, and all the things that we need in order to find purpose that's not just full of hot air. See, self-esteem is full of hot air because it's all about self. Are you with me? See, if you only have self-esteem, it's based on something that you're presently doing or thinking. So as a young person, I have a lot of self-esteem. Why? Well, because I'm strong, vibrant, got a lot of energy. I can go, 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 go. But what happens when you get, you know, older than me, because I still have a lot of energy. I just told you how I'm walking up hills and all that kind of stuff, so probably outdo most folks here. But what happens when you can't do what you could do when you were younger? Now, I have to admit, there's some things I cannot do today that I used to do when I was younger. I mean, I can't dunk anymore, dunk the basketball. I mean, when I was young, boy, you should have seen me. I was like a highlight film. I dunked so many ways. You laugh, but it's true. But now, I can actually still touch the rim, but that's about as the best I can get. And a lot of that is just because my arms are so long. I can stand on my toes and touch the net, so that really means I only got this far to go. But my ankles or my knees, or not my knee, but my, what do you call that thing on the back of your ankle? My Achilles, it seems like I got no lift. And I'm it's like trying to get up. It's like, ooh. It's like, I don't even know if I can play basketball anymore. So there are things I can't do that I used to do. So if everything was based on my ability, guess what? I have less self-esteem. Why? Because I can't do what I used to be able to do. And then take that even further. Say you have a great job and you work at this job for years and years and years, and then one day, and especially nowadays, you get laid off. And all your self-esteem was in the fact that you had this great job. You made a lot of money. You could do anything you wanted to, but now you don't have that job anymore. Now, do you now have no self-esteem? Low self-esteem? You know, and people are fighting depression. Why? Because they don't have hope. Because why? Everything they have was wrapped up into what they did and their abilities. That's why self-esteem is deceptive. But if you get God esteem, that never changes. Everybody say, never changes. Just like God never changes, when he esteemed you a certain way, that never changes. All right? So let's look at some of the ways that we look at ourselves. Number one, some of the world has said that about us, some of us are insignificant and unimportant. Some of us will never be successful. We don't have the ability to learn or like others. Or, and, you know, I just stopped at three, but you can fill in the blank. Some of us heard people said these things to us. And especially people of color. I mean, you know, McQuester and I and Eli, well, Eli was more in Fiji, so he doesn't remember. But when we were coming up, you know, which was just coming out of the 60s, you know, I was born in 62. McQuester probably born a couple years before that, right? So we all remember the civil rights and how blacks were perceived in that time frame. And I went to a school with mostly, it was actually a pretty mixed school, but there was still a tinge of, well, blacks are not as smart, as bright as the other kids. But I thank God, and this is where my father helped me. My father always instilled in me that nobody is better than you, but on the other side, you're not better than anybody. And if you work hard and do your best, you will be successful. So I never struggled with, and no matter what anybody said about, you're not going to be able to do that. I never, you know, look, you first of all, you don't even know me. Okay, let's just start with that. Secondly, you don't, I mean, what you see today is not what will be tomorrow. So even if I was a rascal, and I was a rascal at times in school, I overcame being a rascal when I realized that being a rascal was no living in being a rascal. I never forget one year in, I think it was the second or the third grade. And, you know, back then you got paddled. And I was getting paddles like, you know, clockwork. And then I had this spelling class, and everybody was on spelling lesson number 15, and I hadn't done my spelling test, so I was like on number 2. And my dad, of course, found out about it, and not only did I get in trouble at school, I got in trouble at home, and I got kind of smart. I said, you know, it's not that hard to do a spelling test. So me and a friend at that point, we says, okay, we're going to catch up. So we caught up. Not only did we catch up in the class, we passed everybody. We doubled everybody else's output. We were on lesson 30 while they were on lesson 18. And it wasn't because I couldn't, it's just I didn't. And sometimes, and that surprised the teacher because she probably thought I couldn't. But it was just a matter of I just didn't. And a lot of times we confuse didn't with can't. And we paint an image, and parents, we have to be careful. We do the same for our own kids. Sometimes you say, you know, we say to our children, boy, you ain't going to be nothing. Or girl, you ain't going to be nothing. Don't say stuff like that to your kids. You might get mad at them, but make sure when you're mad, you don't say stuff that can cripple them for months, years down the road. Temper your anger. Don't say, you're no good and I don't know why I had you. Don't say stuff like that. Because even though you think it sometimes, don't let it come out of your mouth. Because we know that, yes, kids drive you crazy sometimes, but in the long run, if you raise them up correctly, they are going to be a blessing to your life. Amen? You may not see it for a while, but they will be a blessing if they can get things together, and we have to help them get things together. So the Bible says here, let's go to what the scriptures say about us. Number one, Romans 8:17. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. If you're there, say amen. All right, and it says, let's start at 16. The Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Everybody say, I'm a child of God. Now let me stop there, because there is some confusion about whether non-believers are children of God or only believers are children of God. So let me see if I can help on this point. Everybody is a child of God by creation. All right? Are you with me there? But everybody is not a child of God by adoption. See, all of us are created by God, so therefore we're children of God. But we're not children of God in the sense that we've become inherit, or we inherit what God has promised us, unless we become adopted children, which is the born again idea. So we're born as children, but we have to be reborn as adopted children. Are you with me? So we can all take hold of this promise, but the second part is what Eric was saying. And if we're children, it says, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So we're children of God, and also we're heirs of God. What's an heir? An heir is somebody that has a claim to an inheritance. All right? That's what an heir is. You can't be an heir unless you have access to an inheritance. So we are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Amen? So we are his children and his heirs. Let's go to Philippians 4:13, another passage that we're pretty familiar with. And this goes to our abilities . And it says, Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And in some translations, if you read the NIV, I think it says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me, right? Well, the him is, of course, is Christ or God. So why is that important? Well, because we have people who tell other people that you can't do this, you can't do that. You don't have the wherewithal to do that. You don't have the intellectual capacity to do that and all that foolishness. I don't even like intelligence tests because I think those are just people's way to make themselves feel good. I mean, if I need a test to tell me whether or not I'm intelligent, I'm in trouble anyway. Because if I have it come to the place that I know that I'm smart, a test is not going to help me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can't allow things to frame you like that. I remember when I went to law school and my LSAT score in LSAT, I scored like in the upper middle range of the LSAT. LSAT stands for Law School Admissions Test. I think the average score was a 31. I got like a 32. And the scale was, you can get up to 50, but most people got in the 40s or somewhere around there. And so they looked at my LSAT score and they said, well, I'm not sure if you're going to make it through law school and all that kind of stuff. I said, you know what, look, just let me get into school. I'll show you, I'll finish. I said, I'm not letting no test. I mean, what is a test that hasn't anything to do with the classes you take going to tell you whether you can get in or out of a school or not? I mean, isn't it dependent on whether you study, whether you do the work, whether you do well on the test? And, I could have been, not had enough sleep when I took the LSAT, not studied, which I didn't study hard enough. You had to pay money for these tests, You didn't have enough money to get the study guide. I mean, could have been one of many reasons. And, of course, I got into law school, got out of law school, passed the bar exam, been practicing law for over 20 years. So you don't allow things like that to dictate to you what you can and can't do. And that's so important because people are always trying to tell you what you can't do. And the bad thing about it, most of the people that tell you what you can't do have never tried what you're telling them that you want to do. I mean, don't you love those people? They say, man, I want to start a business. Man, you can't start a business. Why? Because you started a business? No, I never started a business. I never worked for anybody. I worked for the same place all my life. So I don't even know anything about starting a business. Okay, then if you don't know what it takes to start a business, how are you going to tell me that I don't know what it takes because you don't know? And that's what happens. People project their failures on us. And most of us just kind of take. Harold, you can't do this. Harold, you can't do this. Why? Because I can't do it. And so if I can't do it, you can't do it because you're not smarter than me. And look, that has nothing to do with it. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we don't have the limits that the world wants to place upon us. People going around saying, well, there's no way you can make a good living in America. There's no opportunities in America. Man, open your eyes, people. There's so many opportunities in America. It's almost scary because, unfortunately, the people in America don't see the opportunities in America. But you let some immigrant come across the border, and they see all sorts of opportunities. They're wondering why all y'all can't see them. He says, I'm going to get mine. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to get mine, even if it takes living 20 deep in a house for like 3 years. We're going to get ours, okay? I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Folks come over here, three families, live in one house, a four-bedroom house, rent it for a minute. save up all the money, and then they all three go buy a house. All three families will end up buying a house. Why? Because they had a plan. You might say, well, they're working together. That's true, but they had a plan. And that's the problem. Most of us don't have a plan to succeed. We just don't plan. And so if we remember that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, then we have to then go to the next level and find out, what is it, Lord, that you have given me the ability to do so that I can make a living? Another passage in the Bible is Deuteronomy 8:18. For God has given you the ability or the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is this day. Now, the forefather promise is to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he's talking to the children of Israel. But we know from the scriptures in the New Testament that we that are now have been grafted in by faith through Jesus Christ are heirs to the promises of Abraham. So God has given us the ability. Everybody say, God has given me the ability to get wealth. Now you might say, well, what does that mean? What does it mean to you? It doesn't matter what does it mean to me. To me, it could mean I can get hundreds of millions of dollars. You might say, oh, I don't want that much. Okay, then don't go there. What does it mean to you? Answer that question. And when you get that answer, that's the plot, that's the line you have to draw, and that's the plan that you have to make. But the limits are set by us. We're the limits. The Bible said it was in Psalms, and I can't remember the verse, but the Bible said that God was angry with the children of Israel because they limited him. Remember that? Everybody remember? Every time they turn around, Lord, we ain't got no water. Did you bring us out here to kill us because out of thirst? We had water in Egypt. Why'd you bring us out here? There's no water here. Oh, Lord, we don't have meat. Why did you send us out here with no meat? We don't like this manna you gave us. You give us every day. We had garlic and onions back in Egypt. Why'd you send us out here? So he said, okay, well, you know, y'all just hang out there then until you get tired. But they limited him because, I mean, if you could just get the picture of what the children of Israel experienced with God. First of all, they heard the audible voice of God. How many have heard God's voice? I mean, really heard the voice of God? Yeah, there's every now a few of us, but most of us haven't. They heard God speak, so much so they say, oh, man, don't, that's enough. No more, please, just talk to Moses. We'll do what Moses says, but don't talk to us directly because his voice is intimidating. So they heard God speak. They physically saw him with their eyes by the pillar of fire by day and the pillar of cloud by night. So they see the presence, the physical appearance of the presence of God, but yet and still they're asking questions like, Lord, why did you not bring us with water out here? Now they're talking to the God of creation and they're asking about water. The guy is the one that created all the oceans. He could have sprung up a spring in the middle of the desert, and he did that. He hit the rock and water came out. And they're still trying to figure out in science, how does water come out of a rock? Well, if God tells it to come out, it comes out. That's how it comes out. But they didn't see what God was doing. They limited him. And so many of us walk with a limited perspective of God that we don't even think he cares enough to give us opportunities to succeed. So we have to undo what we've been told by those around us and even by ourselves. You know, many of us have said, look, if I could just get a job paying $2,000 a month, I'll be happy. Well, I may have said that 15 years ago or 20 years ago. Right now, $2,000 a month can't even pay my mortgage. So I'm not happy with $2,000 a month. So we have to grow with the season that we're living in. I mean, when my kids were going at home, my kids always went to private school. You might say, well, was that necessary? It was for me. It was a priority for me. And it wasn't cheap to go to private school. Now, it's not as expensive as you think, but it's not cheap either. So it was a priority. I had to make sure I paid their tuition. I had four boys. Not one, not two, but four. Now, many times I got a discount after number three. You know, sometimes the fourth one would go for free. So praise God for that. But it still was like $600 a month, $1,200 a month at one point. Yeah. So I can't be praying like, oh, God, you know, just if you could just make your way to see clear, if I could just get $1,000 a month. No, I can't live off $1,000 a month. I'm just $1,200 for tuition. That's not counting mortgage and all the other stuff I got to pay. You might say, well, why are you telling us this? Because it's about where you are. What's your priorities in life? If you want more for your family, you have to believe God for more. I did not want my kids going to non-Christian schools. I did not want to have to fight the battle of undoing everything they taught them at school. So I made sure they went to Christian schools. And it cost us money to do it. But I was committed to that, and I'm committed to it for my grandkids. They're not going to fight the battle. Look, it's hard enough to just live as a young person. We don't need all the junk they teach you in school to fight also. And that's why part of the vision here is we want to start a school. You might say, well, when are you going to do it? I don't know. We got to get the place first. If we get a building, we could do it. So pray for the building. Because once we get the building, I'm telling you, we're off like a rocket. And within a year, we'll have a school starting. But, you know, it's all in God's timing. That's why I can't pray for $1,000 a month. That's why, Lord, we need $1.5 million to buy a building. Yes, that's how I pray every day. Lord, we need between $1.5 and $2.5 million so we can buy it cash, because we don't have enough people to make a monthly payment for $1 million building. So we need the money so we can pay it off and get into something deeper after that. Amen? You see where we're going here? I'm dealing where we are, but I'm looking past that point also. And that's what vision is. You acknowledge where you are, but you're never satisfied, and satisfied is not the word, but you're never going to just stay there. You're always projecting into the future. Now, you have to be careful never to be so futuristic that you're never in the present. But you always have to keep your mind ahead, otherwise you'll get caught up in where you are. Yeah, sometimes I do get discouraged, and I say, Lord, man, come on, did you give me this? Did you not give me this vision? Is this what you want me to do? Help me, speak to me, talk to me. Tell me what I need to know. Tell me what I need to do. What's the next step for us now? But that's the way I pray. So I'm not praying for $10,000, and I'm not praying for $20,000. I'm praying for $2 million to buy a building. You might say, that takes a lot of faith. I ain't seen too many. Well, I haven't seen it yet either. But that doesn't mean it's not out there. There's a lot of money out in America. Creates, was it $13 trillion in business per year? You mean to tell me I can't find just 2 million of that somewhere around here? Are you with me here? So you see, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Say that again. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Next, we want, God has given us everything for this life. Let's go to 2 Peter 1:3. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He says, as his divine power has given to us, and what does he say? What power? His divine. What does divine mean? God. His power. God's power. All right? His divine power has given to us all things. Everybody say all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, what is the difference between those two? Well, life is life, things that we need for today. But godliness is eternal, the things that we need for eternal life. So God has provided things for not only this life, but more importantly, for eternal life. And the eternity is the priority, but that does not reduce the importance of the natural. All right? So we have to be both spiritual and natural, not natural, not carnal, but natural. All right? Everybody understand the difference? All right. Next, we want to get to, and we only got a couple more minutes, so we're going to touch on this and have to get to it later. Ideas about men and women. I mean, the world has created such a confusion when it comes to men and women and relationships and all sorts of things. So let me just list 6 things that the world says about men and women. Number 1, women are deceptive and always up to something. There are some religions that teach that. I said religions that teach that. I won't say which one. Since men are selfish, egotistical, proud, stubborn, immature, only want to conquer and dominate things and people. Huh? Men can never understand women, and men are only interested in sex. You might say, well, I know some people like this. Well, women have power over men and are smarter or more crafty than men. Women are more susceptible to being deceived and to worship false gods. And they use the Bible to support that one. It's not true at all. Because if, I'm going to have to close in a minute, but if Adam was so bright, why did he just go along for the ride then? I mean, okay, Eve was deceived, but what was Adam's problem? Yeah, well, he was stupid, okay? That's all there was to it. He knew the rule. He knew the fall. Now, obviously, he didn't know the magnitude. They did not understand the magnitude of what the command was, all right? Because there's no way they could. They could not see in 2011 the sin that this would result in. But they knew they disobeyed. So Eve was deceived, but Adam willingly fell or committed a sin. So which is dumber? At least you could always say, man, you know, hey, I wasn't in my right mind. They tricked me. Adam can't even say that. He's like, well, I saw Eve over there, and I said, well, I ain't going to be by myself, so I'm going to jump in too. After all, God said, he gave her to me, and me, we're supposed to be together, so let's be together in sin. Well, okay. And last point, and then we'll have to close. Women are superior to men, or the complete opposite. Women are always inferior to men. And we get them all, right? Everybody's heard these things said, right? And so next week we're going to talk about what God says about men and women and how we need to get it right. And like I said, in our fallen state, we feel we men and women fulfill every one of those stereotypes. If you're an unsaved man, you're stubborn, proud, arrogant, selfish, immature, and all those things. If you're an unsaved woman, you can be deceptive, crafty, tricky, manipulative, all those things, right? Because we've all been in relationships with people that equal all those people. But that's not the way God's people are supposed to be to do things. All right, we're going to close. Well, thank you very much for listening to the message. I hope your life was touched. I hope God spoke to your heart. If you want more messages, you can reach us at newcreationcc.blogspot.com. Or you can go to iTunes.com and download other podcast messages. Also, if you'd like to get a hold of us, our phone number is area code 206-402-3118. And our email address is newcreationcc@comcast.net. We look forward to hearing from you. May God bless you and keep you is our prayer.